That's some great music, isn't it? You know, as I was trying to prepare for the sermon that the Lord wanted me to bring this morning, one word kept popping in my head. Why? And I thought, as I prayed, I went, why what, Lord? What do you mean by why? I mean, it's when He sends a message to me, it's just crystal clear what it is. But this same word kept coming up. Why? Why this? Why that? I said, well, Lord, I guess I don't understand. So I had to just keep on praying till finally He revealed it to me. Have you ever wondered why things are like they are? Have you ever wondered why you say the things you say, just like Anita's wondering, why did I tell Pastor Lynn about me wanting a man? I know, I'm going to bring it up again. It's called diarrhea of the mouth. That's what I had. Why do we do the things we do? Why do we say the things that we say? You know, I have some things here I wanted to just kind of bring about some things I've been wondering why. One of them, I saw a guy the other day and he had a big old ring in his nose. And I thought, why would a young man put something so painful on his body, like a ring in his nose? Did he wake up and look in the mirror that morning and just walk in and just look in the mirror and look at himself in the mirror and said, you know what? I think something's missing. I think I need some jewelry on my face. I think I need a ring in my nose. I got to thinking, another reason I was wondering, why do banks charge a fee for insufficient funds when they know there's no money in it? Duh. Why do people pay good money to climb up to a tall, tall building and then put money in binoculars and look at the ground? These are just some things I just sit around and I was wondering why. Another one struck me as kind of funny. Why the first man that ever saw a cow, and he looked and he said, you know what? I think I'm going to reach down and grab me one of those little pink dangly things, and I'm going to squeeze it and drink the first thing that comes out. I wonder why you never hear on the news, psychic wins the lottery, if they're so good. Another one is, why do they call it lipstick when a woman puts it on and her lips, they still can move, they're not stuck together? Kind of stupid, but I wonder why certain things are. You ever wonder why, when we don't put God first in our life, and we wonder why things get so discombobulated, why things don't go right? In Matthew 6:33, it says, seek the kingdom of God first above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Man, those are powerful words. Another thing I was wondering about, now I'm going to step on some toes here, because I've done this myself. Why, when God allows us to receive a paycheck, and all He asks for is 10% in return, we don't give it to Him? And then we wonder why our lives are financially hard. Why we can't make it to the next paycheck. Why things just don't go right for us financially. In Malachi 3:10, it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there'll be enough food in the temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open up the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test, God said. Woo! Man, I tell you what, that is powerful words. Another thing, I was sitting around thinking, wondered why. Why are there so many divorces in America? You ever wonder why? Why people just separate? It's so easy nowadays. It's just become a convenience. Marriage is an inconvenience. In Ephesians 5:21, it says this, and further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Whoa. For the husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. Well, I'm not going to just pick on the wives this morning. Listen up, guys. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. You know, if we live these words, there wouldn't only just be a lot fewer divorces in America and in this world. There wouldn't be any. If this is the way we live, if we just followed God's word, treating each other like we want to be treated. You know, a marriage is kind of like when you become married, you become one. I heard this at the marriage conference a couple weeks ago. If you've got your arm is hurt and you get a wound on it and something is wrong with it, you're going to, as a man, you're going to go, you know what? I need to take care of that. I need to put some medicine on it. Whatever it takes to get it well, I need to get it well. He didn't go, you know what? I think I'll just cut that sucker off. I'd be better off if I just got rid of it. I'll just grow me another one. No, we don't. We go, you know what? I'm going to, whatever it takes, I'm going to bandage it. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to nurse it. I'm going to make sure it gets well. That's the way we should be doing for our wives, guys. We should treat them like we treat our own body. That's what the Scripture says. You know, another thing I was wondering why. You ever wondered why when people do get divorced in a family, they're often shunned and condemned? And instead of loving them and drawing them close, churches usually push them out and say, you know what? We really don't have any place for you here now. They don't help them with any type of healing process that's going on in their life. I just wonder why instead of kicking them out, we don't, as Christians, love them and bring them into Christ. Because they're hurt. They have open wounds. I've heard it said many times that Christians are the only ones that shoot their wounded and kill them. That is a hard, hard statement against Christians, isn't it? We're the ones that are supposed to give the love of Christ, right? Does God love married people? Does He love divorced people? Does God love all people? No matter what their color is, no matter what their race, God loves everybody. Unconditionally. Christ will never forsake you. Neither should we. Why do the things we do? Why do we do them? Why do we act the way we act? Say the things that we say? Lose our temper? I think it boils down to a lot of this. In today's churches, we have a lack of commitment to Christ. We don't put Him first in our lives. By not putting Christ first in our lives, it makes everything else unbalanced in our life. Our finances, our marriage, our kids, everything. Christ-centered is what we need to be. If you don't put Him first, and if you don't know what you believe, Satan is going to have a field day with you. He's going to blow the winds of discontentment, and a self-centered life is all you'll have left. This is a hard sermon to preach, y'all. But you know what? We are self-centered. We think about me. We think about I. What I want. What I would like to have. We really need to be thinking about what does Jesus want? What does He want in my life? How does He want me to live? What does Jesus want me to do, not only today, but what does Jesus want me to do this week? Ever wonder why? To tell you the truth, a life without Jesus Christ in it just isn't worth living. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just come to You this morning just asking You, Father, to be first in my life. First in the lives of all the believers at Common Ground. I pray that everything that we do, everything that we say, Father, we would look to You for Your direction first. That we would show love to others, Father, because You loved us first. You showed us what true love is. Unconditional love. When we didn't even deserve it, Lord, You loved us. Even when we were in sin, Lord, You loved us. I pray, Father, that we would seek You out each and every day and put You in the center of our families, the center of our lives individually. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to thank y'all for being here at Common Ground Cowboy Church. If you're visiting this morning, we say welcome. Glad you're here. If you're looking for a church home, we'd like to have you. If you're looking for a loving family, you found it. Because this church is like a big giant family with a bunch of members. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ, and we love each other. We care about each other. I tell you, I did something. I don't do a whole lot. I need to do more. I went to a little ranch rodeo for little kids yesterday. And we had some kids from our church that were participating in it. I tell you what, it was a blessing to watch those little kids. There was 18 teams of four that were out there. These little bitty kids, little bitty boys and girls from everywhere from four, I guess maybe even 3 years old. Some of them, they couldn't even hardly stand up, hardly much less run. But from this up all the way to about 6 or 7 years old, I couldn't believe it. And riding them horses and being pulled and riding and jumping and doing everything on ranch rodeo to those goats. It was such a blessing. I thought to myself, this is the perfect picture of what a family is. Parents who love their children enough to do what? To take them out and give them the opportunity to do something fun. To just do something that these kids will remember for the rest of their lives. And I tell you, Lord, if you ever get a chance to go, there's some more coming up, you ought to go watch it, because it just will bring, it'll bring a smile to your face and a blessing in your heart. Let the kids come down. Are they going to sing a song?